On a recent program, Chuck Swindoll asked us to imagine a scenario in which you received a call from your banker. He informed you that every day for the rest of your life, you'd receive 86,000 pennies. Here's the catch. You must spend each penny by the end of the day or the total will be taken back. Wow, sounds like a fun challenge, right? And then Chuck said, so why are we okay with wasting the 86,000 seconds that God gives us each day? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck calls us to stop procrastinating and start following through.
This year, you were given time in daily doses, which works out into hours, which works down into minutes and even seconds, which means this is the perfect time for you to hear these things well. The thief of time, procrastination, exists to steal your incentive, to take away your motivation. You'll hear something like this, and you'll be on the edge of your seat with excitement, thinking, I'm going to get at that. But you don't. Procrastination wins the day once again. Here's one for you to deal with. Mending a relational fence. You track me? Some of you have managed to hurt someone else's feelings. You know you've done it, but you're not woman enough or man enough to face it. Because you are many things, unsure how it will turn out, you might make things worse. You're now hearing excuses from procrastination. You might make things worse. The person won't come to terms with it. It'll be more difficult after you talk about it than if you just leave it alone. Leave well enough. It isn't well enough. This is a great time for you to deal with whatever may have happened that caused the communication lines to fall. You cannot make the other person do what they should do. You can only deal with yourself. And when you do it, you think, why did I put that off so long? Because relational fences may seem difficult to repair. Sometimes they are, admittedly. Usually they're not. We think it's going to be harder or worse or more difficult than we expected. Now that I have said all of these things, I'm ready to mention the third one. Your weight. Okay, now I've said it. Let's think about your weight. The reason I can address it is because I fight it constantly. I am currently a little overweight, and I've been very overweight, and you have been gracious enough to listen to me when I was really heavy. And now that I'm working on it, and I'll admit it to you, it's a task. And some of you are gonna do it one of these years. And I want to help you with some very practical things, because it isn't healthy. You know what you ought to weigh. If you don't, your doctor will help you. And in doing so, you know what it'll take to get you there, okay? It's not going to be easy, because you've got to break the habit of eating more than you should eat and not exercising. If it's got eternity written in it, and if I'm to give account for the way I handle and treat my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I need to stop laughing about it. Let me give you three simple but strong warnings, okay? As if these haven't been. I want you to look at Ephesians 5. This is a chapter written regarding our everyday conduct. The writer, Paul, is asking us to carefully determine what pleases the Lord. That's really what verse 10 is saying. In fact, he gets specific in verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about things that ungodly people do in secret. By the way, that's a command we frequently disobey. Their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, Christ will give you light. Now, it's in that context, verse 15 steps in. Here are the commands. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. It's a negative command. It begins from the Greek, look accurately how you walk. Isn't that helpful? Don't lie to yourself. Don't ignore reality. Don't act like something else is happening. Don't rationalize around it or procrastinate any longer. It even goes further. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. See the word wise? It's the Greek word sophia. The name sophia means wise or wisdom. Here's what the word means. Understanding that results in wise attitudes and conduct. So when you're wise, you have an understanding that results in wise attitudes and conduct. To make the same mistake over and over and over again is no longer a mistake. It's a bad habit. You learn when you did it that it was wrong, it was bad, it worked against you, and you were a fool to continue to do it. That's what the passage is saying. So I'll be very practical here and say one of the ways to help you keep from doing that is to stop joking about it. Stop looking on it as though it is funny. If something you're doing ought not be going on, a joke doesn't make it right. Or laughing about it doesn't make it right. Don't try to excuse it. Don't live like it's not happening. Address it. So that's the start, verse 15. Now here's the positive. Redeem the time. Or as it reads in my translation, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Fools pay little attention to the use of their time. They make stupid investments and they do it repeatedly. But the wise, they make mistakes and they learn from it. I read this in my study. We never need more time than we have to do the will of God. I find that helpful. If I had 2 more hours in every day, it wouldn't help me fulfill the will of God. Jesus fulfilled the will of God in 33 years. In fact, he came to the very end and he said, "It is finished. Mission accomplished. I came for the task. I've completed the task. I've done it." He didn't procrastinate. With that in mind, I'd like to invite you to go back to Proverbs chapter 6. This is a great biblical illustration. I call this a vivid illustration. Proverbs chapter 6. I especially like the way the New Living Translation renders this. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. When you get to Proverbs, take a lesson from the ants. Isn't that a good way to start the verse? Take a look at the ants. And this New Living Translation says, "You lazy bones, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and look at it. Become wise." Well, what do I see when I study the ant? Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? And then it gives almost like a little proverb here, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. What do you see when you study the ant? Well, as I go through these verses, I find several things. First, they need no one to keep pushing them. Those who are wise Develop the habit of self-discipline. You see yourself in all the light of reality, and no one needs to push you or prod you to come to terms with whatever it is that needs attention. They have no prince, no governor, no ruler to make them work. Look next. They stay at a task with intense diligence. They stay at it with intense diligence. They labor hard all summer. So they work smart. In summer, they're preparing for the winter. And fourth, they refuse to sleep when they need to be working, when they need to give attention to it. Is it any wonder they get so much done? Cynthia and I were sharing our breakfast table several times this week with a lady who was staying with us for a while, longtime friend. And she happens to live on a ranch. And when I'm around people that live in another kind of setting than I live in, I'm curious. And I told her about what I was studying, and she said, oh, you should see the path that red ants make. And I didn't know, I knew these soldier ants in Africa make these paths, but she said, on our ranch, there are little 1 to 2 inch swaths, no grass or weeds grow, and that's where the ants are. And they have gone on that path so long, ants literally have beaten the trail there on her ranch property. Do you know that ants do that? Maybe all of you did. I didn't know that. When our kids were small, we bought them a little fun thing called an ant city. Have you ever seen an ant city? It has glass on each side, or plastic, clear plastic, and in the middle is sand, and somebody has put ants in there so that you're able to watch the ants do what they do when they go in their hole. You know, from up here, you can't see anything. All you see is a hole, and they go in and out, or you're standing on it, and you realize you're on an ant hole. But down inside, it is incredible when you watch them at work. I mean, they are going after it back and forth, back and forth. They bump into each other. They go out of the way. They move ahead. This guy's carrying this. Another guy's carrying that. And they're forever, forever at work. Can't speak for your house, but when it gets real cold, we get ants. And sometime they'll appear in our bathroom, sometime they'll be in our kitchen, and there they are, moving all about. I never see them sitting around talking. They aren't in little clusters, hanging out, eating together. They're always moving, always going, always involved, always diligent. That's why the writer says, go to the ant. Learn a lesson from this little insect, and in doing so, you will change from a foolish lifestyle to a wise one. All of this brings me to just simple, practical suggestions. I give them to you in two words. Here we go. Write them down. You're going to need them. You're going to want to rehearse them. You're going to need to review them again and again to conquer procrastination. Number one, set priorities. Set priorities. What's the most important thing you need to deal with? Start there. Set priorities. I learned years ago that there are two things most difficult to get people to do. Number one is to think. Seriously, to think. The other is to do things in the order of their importance. I spend my life doing my best to conquer both. To continue to think and not use age as an excuse for not thinking. I will read as long as I can read because I know in reading I move into a world that's beyond my own. I will stay engaged in conversations with people brighter than I am because I learn from people like that. I want to think. And then having thought, plan to do something in the order of importance, you're the best qualified to determine your priorities. I don't know what that might be. It may be in the physical realm. It may be in the relational realm. It may be something to do with your work. It may be intellectual. You may have begun a study plan that you've given up on. You were going to go to school. You started. You dropped out. Get back in there. You're going to write a book. Many people I meet have started a book. But it's great to meet you who follow through and get the book written. Perhaps you're a songwriter. Set the priority. Get it written. Get it composed. So set priority. Number two, stop excusing. This will help you deal with procrastination. Stop excusing. We're seldom more creative than when it comes to putting things off. We all can think of reasons that are not good reasons, but we turn to them all the time because they're a difficult task that we don't want to do, so we excuse them. Here's the third, stay realistic. Remember what I said about the weight and about the exercising? Don't start too strong. Don't try to go too far. Don't overreach, but start. Which brings me to the last, and that's start today. Set priorities, stop excusing, stay realistic, and start today. Let me tell you a quick story, and I'm all through. It's a story of a politician who procrastinated, and the result was he died without Christ. You'll read of him in Acts 23 and 24. His name is Governor Felix. Paul is arrested at Caesarea by the sea. He must appear before a judge. The judge is Governor Felix. Paul takes the opportunity to tell his story, and then realizing that Felix is lost without Christ, he gives him the gospel. Felix listens and then turns him away. You can read of it. There are various stages of procrastination in Felix's life. Once he puts him away for a while, then he brings him back and listens further. Another time he comes with his wife, Drusilla, and the two of them listen. And then Paul says to him, now's the time, now's the time. And he says, well, some other time. And he puts him aside. Another politician that's going to be responsible for him comes into town, and he turns Paul over to him. But he keeps meeting with Paul because he's curious about this thing called the Christianity and the following of the way. Finally, we read, he put him in prison, and he left him there for 2 years. And you read nothing more of Felix. That's it. I'm convinced Felix never turned his life over to Christ. He spent his time putting it off, putting it off. When is a little better time? When I'm a little older, when I start getting sick, when things turn against me, when I'm no longer in office, when? Sounds like your story? Many of you have heard the good news of Christ for weeks, maybe months, years of your life. And you keep saying, well, not right now. Not right now. I read somewhere that the demons met and they were working on a strategy on how best to keep people from Christ. And one demon popped up and said, let's, when we're there on earth, let's tell people there's no heaven. And Satan's response was, you can't convince them of that. It's in the heart of people. They know there's an eternity. They know there are too many believers that are on their way, and they talk of it and they sing of it. It's stupid to say there's no heaven. Another one stepped up, and the little imp responded, let's tell them there's no hell. It's just a figment of imagination. It's just some preacher's excuse to get people to believe. He said, you know what? Down deep inside, a person knows if there is a heaven, there must be a place for those who do not go there. That's not going to work. You'll never convince them of that. And then the brightest of the group stepped up and said, Lucifer, let's tell them there's no hurry. There's no hurry. Some of you are believing that to this moment. What's the hurry? You lived through all of last year, did pretty well. I mean, you're fairly healthy. What if you get the flu? And what if you can't get rid of it? What if this year is your last year? You don't know. Maybe this week is your last week. There is a hurry. Don't put that off. Bow with me, will you? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. The good news is that your sins have been paid for. You don't have to pay for them. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to promise to come to church for a year. You don't have to give up your sin. You couldn't if you tried. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to stop this or start that. What you have to do is trust in Christ. Don't put that off. Don't wait till some time when it seems better time. There may not be another time. Trust him now. Take him now. I plead with you. Dear Father, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of those who realize that it's to them I've been speaking these last few words. And give them an openness and a willingness to admit, that's me. I'm the one that's been dragging my feet. I know better. I trust you now, Lord, with my life. I do take Christ, and him alone is my Savior and Lord. Father, I pray that you will give them no rest and no relief and no peace till they have dealt with this issue, since they have eternity in their hearts. May they honor that by turning to you. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes to a subject that needs to be addressed. Help us to come to terms with it directly, personally, and consistently. Turn us from people who excuse wrong to people who address it. Come to terms with it and do something about it. Give us the courage and the strength to do so. We rely on you for that, especially those who have never come to Christ. I pray that decision will be made this day for his glory and in his name. For we ask it through Christ our Savior. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through. It's from the 9-part series called Things to Stop and Start. And to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Maybe something Chuck said today caused you to consider your good intentions for the new year. Perhaps you made some resolutions earlier in the month and you're determined to fulfill those goals in 2020. At Insight for Living, we're committed to walking with you every day, and we want this to be your trusted place for spiritual encouragement and biblical guidance, so that by the end of the year, you can look back with a genuine sense of accomplishment. As a motivation to your walk with God, let me suggest that you read Chuck's daily devotional called Faith for the Journey, Daily Meditations on Courageous Trust in God. Keep this on your nightstand, at your desk, or perhaps in the kitchen, where you'll be reminded to spend a few moments reflecting on the truth of God's Word. It's written in the refreshing style you've come to expect from Chuck. To purchase a copy today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. And look for the book called Faith for the Journey. You often hear me say that Insight for Living is made possible not through the purchase of resources, but the voluntary contributions of our monthly companions and all those who give one-time donations. Well, as we begin a brand new year, perhaps January is the month you decide to join our loyal family of monthly companions. You set the monthly amount. That's a personal matter. But in any case, we want you to know that your gift is channeled directly into providing this daily program and the many other resources that bring a fragrance of God's grace to all who listen. If you're listening in the United States, here's the number to call, 1-800-772-8888. Or sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. Step onto the ancient theatrical stage where biblical history was written. Experience The Land and the Book with Chuck Swindoll, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Feel the cool breezes sweep across the Sea of Galilee. Walk along the banks of the Jordan. Take time to pause and reflect. Picture Jesus being baptized in this very river.
Tours leave for Israel every day. You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour where you benefit from Chuck Swindoll's insight.
This isn't a mere fact-finding trip. Insight for Living makes every effort to save time for your journey to be filled with adventure and yet punctuated with laughter and seasoned with spiritual moments you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Call 888-447-0444.
You know, you'll never read your Bible the same way. Come with Cynthia and me to the land of Israel.
The dates are March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. The word addiction typically makes us think of alcohol, cigarettes, or illegal drugs. But Friday, Chuck Swindoll will describe another kind of addiction that's far more subtle, yet just as enslaving. In fact, you might be an addict and not even know it. Our subject is overcoming worry. Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.